You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with actor Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse is best known for roles in films like The Social Network and Zombieland, and his latest film, The Art of Self-Defense, is a fascinating look at toxic masculinity. In The Art of Self-Defense, Eisenberg plays Casey, a timid accountant who is attacked one night by a roving motorcycle gang. After the attack, he joins a neighborhood dojo to learn karate in order to be able to defend himself in the future. However, as he becomes more and more involved, and he begins to attend his sensei's mysterious night classes, he soon discovers a sinister world of fraternity, brutality, and hyper-masculinity. In this one-on-one, we are thrilled to speak to Jesse about toxic masculinity in today's culture, what he looks for in a character, and where he thinks the line is between strength and weakness. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for doing the story as well.
You know what? I absolutely love the film. I love your work anyway, but I really thought this was a fascinating film, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, me too. I this was special for me, as you can imagine, as well.
Yeah, I was wondering, how did you come to be associated with The Art of Self-Defense?
Well, my agent sent me the script of the movie and Riley Stern's first movie, Salt, and a letter from Riley introducing himself and talking about the movie. And when I watched Salt, which is about a kind of a cult, and read The Art of Self-Defense, I thought this is a brilliantly funny movie about cults, because that's kind of what it seemed like to me at the time, because the karate class seems like a cult. The sensei seems like a cult leader. My character seems like the perfect, candidate for a cult. You know, somebody who's desperate to be part of a group, who can't make friends, who has trouble interacting with other people. And so, I thought the movie was like a great commentary on cult behavior. But then, when we were doing the movie, I realized actually it's just a brilliant satire on masculinity. Partly because while we were filming the movie, the Me Too movement began, the Harvey Weinstein story was released, and so the movie took on this other very kind of relevant, topical feeling of being a clever, wry commentary on what being a man means to society.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the really interesting subtexts of the movie. I found it interesting because we've seen, you know, through Me Too, and that a lot of films, from a female perspective, this is almost a look at toxic masculinity from a male perspective. What do you think that means to be a man in today's culture with so many things moving around?
I've always thought, my wife was raised by a woman who ran one of the most important domestic violence shelters in America. And my wife from birth was like raised to be an activist for women's rights. And so from the moment I met her, my mind shifted entirely about the responsibility of men in society, and that it's important to kind of be an ally to those who don't have as much power in society. And so I've always thought that's the kind of purpose, that's the kind of like best way to be a man. And the movie so brilliantly shows the other side of it, what men think they have to do in order to succeed in this society. You know, they have to listen to the right music. They have to, drink the right coffee. They have to have the right kind of pet. And so the movie shows in this very blunt and funny way the pressures that men feel. But because the movie's a satire, it lets the audience off the hook. It's not preachy or didactic or strict. The movie shows through comedy the dangers and the absurdities of masculinity in modern culture.
What is it that drew you to Casey specifically? Like, what do you look for in a character when you're got a script in your hand?
I really look for like the character to have some emotional life. Like, so this is a comedy, and oftentimes in comedies the characters are kind of just like placeholders for jokes. And this one, the character seems like this real person, even though, or the character it seemed like a real emotional person, even though the style was so heightened. Like, I don't think you and I know anybody that's like Casey, that speaks in that strange, childish way, or that is so trusting and earnest. But at the same time, the character has like a real emotional experience. And so this movie and this character gave me the opportunity to do a kind of tone and style of performance that I'd never done before, but still within the context of a character that's experiencing real emotions. So it didn't just seem kind of like performance art, but that it seems like a character with a psychology, just one that doesn't really exist in this world.
Yeah, yeah. There's something very human about him in the midst of this heightened reality.
That's exactly it. It's like a child. It's like my goal for it was to play the kind of 6-year-old version of myself. Like when I was 6, I was scared of everything, but also very sweet and innocent. And I thought of Casey like that. He's like just a child. He's just a child in a world where everybody else is an adult. And at the beginning of the movie, everybody hates him and doesn't pay attention to him. And halfway through the movie, everybody's scared of him because he's an aggressive, you know, horrible man. And then towards the end of the movie, he kind of finds his balance.
Yeah, you know, the film also sort of looks at that tension between strength and weakness. You know, Imogen, I'm probably mispronounced her name, but Imogen Poots does a wonderful job. And that line, she says, I know my, you know, essentially my hands aren't as strong as a man. She apologizes for the massage and, you know, and the sensei even says you have to become a better version of yourself or succumb to his weakness. So where do you think that line lies for someone like Casey between being strong and this weakness? And what is that perceived weakness?
I think he's so desperate to be part of any group at the beginning of the movie that the thing a lot of people like that find who are desperate for acceptance a lot of times is, you know, kind of dangerous authority. Because those kind of dangerous authoritarians prey on people like Casey. And I think what he learns over the course of the movie is that to actually have strength is to kind of, well, the movie is not so Disney as what I'm about to say, but he finds that his goodness can be masculine and strong. Mm. But the movie is so twisted that to put it in those terms, I think, sells short the absurdity that the movie, that some of the absurd lengths that the movie actually goes to.
Yes, he's not a Disney prince.
Right. No.
Can you talk a little bit about your training for the film? I mean, you've done physical work before, but I mean, this looks like it could have been pretty intense.
Yeah, we had like 3 weeks of intense training with this woman, Mindy Kelly, who was like the stunt coordinator for the movie, and she is also one of like the best martial artists in the world and has been competing since she's a kid. And so so we had good training, but my character only has to be a yellow belt. So as good as our training was, like, it's still, high school didn't have to be as great as, like, Imogen had to be, whose character is a black belt, or Alessandra's character, who's a black belt. So I had, like, really intense training with the knowledge that I didn't have to be as good as some of the other characters. So it was kind of like, it was a bit recreational for me. And I had a stunt double, this great guy who has worked with me on Zombieland and some other movies, Ryan Mooney. And so I also knew, like, he would be there for anything I couldn't do. But then when we got to the set, I realized, like, I could do a lot of it because my character's supposed to look kind of like a beginner. Mm. So it wasn't that much of a stretch.
Right, that's fair. That's fair. You know, one of the things I really appreciate about your work is it's so diverse. You know, you balance really well between these smaller, more independent films, which, by the way, I reviewed The Hummingbird Project, which I absolutely adored, by the way. I just thought that was a great film.
Oh, thank you so much. That's your fellow Canadian.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was. As a Canadian, I had pride there, but I mean, the film itself was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I like how you can balance these smaller films with the larger budgets, with the larger budget films. I was wondering, is there a different feel working on the sets? Is there more collaborative on the smaller films, or is it the same sort of process?
It really depends on the project. Like, in terms of, like, collaboration, it really, like, you would assume that a smaller movie would be more collaborative, but actually it depends on the project. Like, I just did Zombieland 2, and, like, that is probably like the most collaborative experience I've ever had, in the sense that like there were many scripts written and the actors were allowed to veto the scripts if they didn't like them. And then on set, we were asked to improvise a lot and to do, you know, many takes where we're doing something other than the script. And then a movie like The Art of Self-Defense, I didn't change one word because it's such a brilliant script. You didn't want to change it. And so actually it just depends on the project. Some are, you know, some are, yes, some just lend themselves to collaboration and require the actors kind of bringing themselves to it. A movie like Zombieland, which has, the writers are fantastic. I mean, they wrote Deadpool. They're just, you know, brilliant writers. But because the movie is really about these, this small ensemble, it almost begs the actors to bring their own weird sense of humor to it, to kind of heighten how different these characters are with each other. Yeah. And so kind of just depends on the project more. And I like doing both. I like doing a movie like The Art of Self-Defense where I'm not changing anything and I'm just totally immersing myself in this very strange tone. And I love doing a movie like Zombieland, which kind of asks a little more in terms of, dialogue suggestions, even though the dialogue is great already.
I was thinking about that. I know Zombieland 2, I think it comes out in the fall. I was wondering what brought you back to that now. I mean, that was one of the early breakthrough roles for you, and I was just wondering why 10 years later go back to Zombieland.
Well, the only reason it took this long is because we were waiting for a good script to come in. You know, all the actors in it are, you know, very busy actors, but we all wanted to do this movie so much because we loved it, and so we were just waiting for the right script to come in. I mean, we were more interested even than the movie company at some points. The movie company, you'd think, would always just want to capitalize on a hit and make a sequel if possible. But the actors were pushing it so much in this case, which is normally the opposite, just because we loved it so much and we loved the ensemble so much and we were eager to find a kind of worthwhile sequel. That's why it took so long. Otherwise, we would have done it right away.
I was wondering about working with Riley. I think, you know, this is his second film, and I was wondering what he brings to the table in The Art of Self-Defense, because I know he wrote and directed the film.
It was the only movie I've ever done, and I think everybody had this experience on set where we all knew exactly what shots needed to be done in each scene. We were so aware that the script was so perfectly written, it was so economical and so clear, that we knew every shot that needed to be done, and then he was able to execute it perfectly. I think Alessandro said, this is the closest experience he had. This experience is from script to screen is like the closest he's ever seen a movie. And that's how I felt too. It was unbelievably concise and unbelievably efficient. And he was able to just execute exactly what he wanted to so perfectly, while at the same time making us all feel like we were bringing ourselves to it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. And it shows up on screen. You are wonderful. The script is wonderful. And I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much, Jesse. I really appreciate it.
You too, Steve. Thanks for speaking with me. I really appreciate it, too.
Have a great day.
All right.